Hi, my name is Salil Tripathi, and I'm going to be talking about my new book, The Colonel Who Would Not Repent, The Bangladesh War and Its Unquiet Legacy. Between March and December 1971, the Pakistani army committed atrocities on an unprecedented scale in the country's eastern wing. When Britain left India and India became free, it was divided into two parts, India and Pakistan. Pakistan itself was made up of two parts, its eastern and western wing. The eastern wing was predominantly Bengali. The western wing largely spoke Punjabi, Urdu, Sindhi and other languages. In 1971, when the elections took place, in the eastern wing, the Awami League won 160 out of the 162 seats. The country had 300 seats in the parliament, so clearly the Awami League should have formed the government. Instead, the Pakistani army sent its troops. It was called Operation Searchlight, and in the months that followed, the troops and their collaborators were responsible for countless deaths and cases of rape. Some say that 26,000 people died. This is the claim made by the Pakistani army. People in Bangladesh believe that the figure was as high as 3 million. Nobody knows the exact figure, but it's very likely that hundreds of thousands died. There were perhaps at least 250,000 instances of rape. Violence against women was rampant. Clearly, religion alone wasn't enough to keep Pakistan's two halves united. Mukti Bahini was a name taken by the forces of freedom fighters who had come together and decided to liberate their country. These were East Pakistanis, Bengalis, who became Bangladeshis. The Indian Army and the Indian government gave a lot of support to them. More than that, the Indian Army and the Indian government provided logistical support to them. Within India, something like 10 million refugees had come from what was East Pakistan, and India looked after them. I remember some of those stories well. I was a schoolboy at that time. From our school, we gathered and collected funds. We collected food, we collected clothes, which went to the refugees. The Indian Army also retaliated because on December 3, 1971, the Pakistani Air Force attacked Indian airfields. When the airfields were attacked, that was a cause of war, and India retaliated, and the Indian troops went into what was East Pakistan. Along with Mukti Bahini, they were successful in defeating the Pakistani forces, and on the 16th of December, finally, the Pakistani army surrendered, and 93,000 prisoners of war came to India. From that brutal violence, Bangladesh emerged as an independent nation, but the wounds have continued to fester. Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, who was the first Prime Minister of Pakistan and later the first President, had declared in effect what could be called as a suspension of the Constitution. He changed the way the country was being governed by making it a one-party state and dismissed many opposition parties and closed down many of the newspapers. A lot of people were upset by what was going on, and junior officers staged a coup, and in the coup, most of his family, including himself, were assassinated. After that, more coups followed and counter-coups followed, and the cycle of violence just went on. The people responsible for the violence were never punished. In fact, some of them were honored. Some became diplomats, some became parliamentarians, and some were allowed to live freely within Bangladesh. There was a long period of military rule, and individually and collectively, those responsible for the country's inability to come to grips with the legacy of the war enjoyed impunity. Now, four decades later, as Bangladesh has tried to bring some accountability and closure to that blood-soaked past, what it has done is it has created tribunals which would try international crimes such as genocide, crimes against humanity and war crimes. In the process, leaders of the Jamaat-e-Islami and a few other politicians have been tried. Most of them have been convicted and some have been given death sentence. A few have been executed. These tribunals have been controversial. And I've been curious about Bangladesh for a long time. So I went about 6 times over a 3-year period, spending about 4 to 5 months in the country, traveling through the length and breadth of the country to places like Nator, to Sylhet, to Khulna, to Komila, to Chuknagar, to Chittagong, to Dhaka, of course, to Shatkhira, the boundary with India, on the border with India, and even further to Barishal, and places such as Kushtia, and Kumarkhali and spoke to witnesses, spoke to victims and spoke to survivors to probe the country's trauma. I interviewed them, I spoke to them, I heard their stories to give them voice, the voice that they had been denied for a long time. What I'm trying to offer the readers through the book is a portrait of a nation whose political history since independence has been marked more by tragedy than triumph. And it is my hope that reading the book, the international community will come to the conclusion that tragedies like this must not happen again. And people must have the right to elect their own governments, and civilians must never become victims of any conflict. I hope you enjoy the book. It has been a pleasure talking to you.